I had a talk planned for you today entitled Hold Your Position. But all week I was trying to work on that talk and the universe said, I want you to do another one. And I kept trying to work on that talk and the universe was like, you didn't hear me though. I want you to do another one. And that's just another confirmation for me of our oneness. Because you have called me forth here today. Calling forth the perfect talk that you needed to hear, not what I thought you needed to hear. And the universe, because we are one, came forth as the activity of my consciousness that said, this is what's needed today. So the title that came through was the call, the answer, and the celebration. The call, the answer, and the celebration. And I'd like to reference a scripture in Matthew that says, many are called, but few are chosen. How many of you have heard that? Many are called, but few are chosen. And as I was reading, it says that Jesus liked to talk in parables. When he likened the kingdom of heaven to when a king sent his servants out to invite guests to the wedding feast of his son. He said, go and invite them. I have prepared a feast for them. I am calling them to a feast. And all the guests refused because they were busy. They said, tell the king that we decline his invitation because we're busy. The king said, what? Well, tell him this. Tell him I have prepared oxen and fattened cattle and wine for their pleasure. And in this day and age, he would say, tell all the vegetarians and the recovering alcoholics that I prepared all the tofu and celery juice and Diet Coke that they can stand. I prepared a feast for them. What's wrong with them? Tell them to come. And even then, the guest said, not this time. Decline the invitation. So finally, the king said, well, you know what? Instead of this special list of guests that I had, I want you to go out. And I want you to invite everyone. The good, the bad, the rich, the poor. I want you to invite everyone. Everyone is invited to the feast. And finally, the guest hall was filled with guests for the wedding feast. But the king noticed one particular guest that wasn't properly attired for the wedding. He didn't come properly dressed. So the king went over to this guest and he said, what's up? In this day and age, he'd say, what's up? Why aren't you dressed? And the guest was speechless. So the king said, you ain't got nothing to say? What's up? So he told the servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him out into a sea of darkness where there will be much gnashing of the teeth. I said, whoa, that's deep. There's got to be a metaphysical explanation for that. Many are called, but few are chosen. So here's, when I went within and I said, well, what does that mean? Bind him hand and foot and cast him out into a sea of darkness where there will be much gnashing of the teeth. What does it mean to not be properly attired for the feast? What does it mean to decline over and over and over again the invitations that are showing up as the activity of our consciousness that we are not prepared to accept? First of all, I know that it is impossible in an all-inclusive universe to invite some to the feast and not invite everyone because there's no separation and there's no duality. We are all called to the feast. We are all invited to attend. But not everyone accepts the invitation. And not everyone is properly attired in consciousness, by rites of consciousness, to attend the feast. And I remember 27 years ago when I received my envelope, my first invitation that was in a nice white, creamy colored envelope. And the invitation said, your attendance is requested to show up for the feast of your life as a sober woman in sobriety. You are requested. Your attendance is requested because you know what, Esther? I have created you in my image and likeness. And the life you are living is out of alignment with your birthright as an expression of life. You are out of alignment with wholeness. So your attendance is requested. Formal attire. And that showed up in my consciousness as an awakening one day when I was like, wow, my life is a mess. I'm a mess. But what happens is we receive the invitation and we throw it up on the desk with all the other mail that we don't want to deal with. And we make excuses. And I was like, oh, I'm fine. And so when we throw that invitation up on the desk with the other mail that's collecting dust that we don't want to deal with, the invitation doesn't stop coming because we don't want to deal with it. It just comes a little more intensely the next time. So then the pink envelope showed up. And it said, your attendance is suggested to show up for the banquet of your life. I have something better for you, beloved. You don't have to live like this anymore. And it showed up in my life as my losing probably my fifth job in 6 months because I was too busy acting out as in my addiction. And I threw that envelope on the desk because I justified it and said, well, it's not my fault because it's not in the job policy that you should be able to take off every Monday. What's up with that? It's not my fault. I threw that up on the desk. And the universe is like, here we go. The red envelope came. And the red envelope wasn't requesting or suggesting. It said, your attendance is required to attend the fullness of your life. And you don't have to come in formal attire. You don't have to come in even casual attire. Come as you are, beloved. Come home. And this showed up on my doorstep as my family who had come to take my daughter away. Because I was an unfit mother. And it showed up as me looking in the mirror and only skin hanging over my skeleton because I was so emaciated by the drug and alcohol addiction. And the red envelope said, final notice. And I was like, well, you don't have to be so mean about it. And I said, final notice? No more extensions? And I accepted the invitation finally. And I stand before you today with 25 years of sobriety. Thank you. Then I remember distinctly when another invitation came 6 years ago when I was singing background vocals for Rod Stewart. It was a prime gig. I was traveling all over the world, making great money. But something was happening. The white, creamy-colored envelope showed up as a feeling of restlessness, irritableness, and discontent. It showed up as, this is the end of this season, Esther. You've given it all that you need to give it, and it has given you all that it needed to give you. I have something bigger for you now. And it showed up as a little boredom and a little something. You know that feeling when, you know, something's changing in you. Something's changing. But I threw that envelope up on the desk because I'm like, I know you ain't messing with my gig, universe. No, that's not what it meant. And I went on about my merry way. And the universe was like, we got to give her the pink slip. So in my hotel room one day, it showed up as this voice within my very own beingness that said, I have prepared you. You are a licensed spiritual practitioner. You have released your first inspirational CD. I have given you this opportunity to sing and to perform in front of tens of thousands of people so that you would anchor in your stage presence and your poise. You know how to pray and meditate. You know how to teach. I have prepared you for something bigger than singing Hot Legs behind Rod Stewart. Do you get the message? And I said, well, no. I said, well, wait a minute. I know what my paycheck is going to be every week. I know I'm miserable. I know I'm bored. I know I don't have anything else to give this situation. How many of you? Raise your hand. Come on. I know that I'm really done with this situation, and it's starting to feel not great being here, but I know what my check is going to be every week. And this is my security, and I'm scared. So I tell you what, Spirit, give me a couple of more years, and if you're really serious about living this your purpose thing, I'll get back with you. We'll talk about it then, okay? And the universe said, like a loving but very firm parent, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. The next week, I got the red envelope. And it came by way of a phone call that said, Esther, you know they're from England. Esther, sorry, old chap, but you're fired. I'm like, well, why? It's like, well, I had reached a certain age that was no longer appropriate to sing Hot Legs behind Rod Stewart. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to take this into very serious consideration. Have you seen Rod Stewart? Have you seen him? But here's what I knew in my soul. The universe can only reveal through us any information at the level of our consciousness. So the only way that Rod Stewart could get the message of firing me for my own highest and best good was it had to have something to do with age, because that's his thing. But I knew that that had nothing to do with it. I knew who had fired me. I knew that it was the universe saying, beloved, I have called you by name, and I know what plans I have for you. I know what plans I had for you in the beginning. And that thing that you were doing with Rod Stewart and Bette Midler, it was a step in the direction. I didn't intend for you to pull over and park there for the rest of your life. That's their vision. I have a vision for you. But I couldn't hear. Because I was so afraid. I was freaking out. I'm fired. Where is my next paycheck going to come from? Who am I if I'm not Rod Stewart's background vocalist? I was too busy being petrified and terrified and embarrassed. So what happens is when we receive the invitation in the mail, on the back of the invitation is always the map as to how to get to your destination. But if you don't turn the invitation over on the other side, you won't know that. And the same thing happens when the universe extends the invitation to us, when it extends the call to us for us to grow beyond our comfort zone, for us to step out on faith and to be bigger than we've ever known ourselves to be, what has come with that invitation are the instructions, the solution, the how, the way. But because we're so hanging out in fear and we've been kicked out into a sea of darkness and we're gnashing our teeth and we don't know what to do and we're in fear and doubt and uncertainty, we can't hear the answer. We can't feel the answer. The answer can't be revealed because it's on a totally different vibrational frequency than fear, doubt, and uncertainty. They can't hang out in the same house. But it's been there all the time. The answer is there all the time. And it was there sitting on my desk for 6 months while I laid on the floor in the fetal position, bemoaning my fate. I'm wondering how this could have happened and how am I going to eat and how am I going to pay my bills and all that stuff. And in all that 6 months that I was hanging out in the fetal position on the floor, not one bill went unpaid and not one meal was missed. But I couldn't even be grateful for that because I was too busy hanging out in the fear. I couldn't even see that because I was too busy hanging out in the fear. But finally, that envelope on the desk, it started glowing. And I was like, maybe I should take a look at it. And I got up off that floor in the fetal position. And I said, I'm willing to rise in consciousness to the vibrational frequency of the solution. I'm willing to rise in consciousness to the vibrational frequency of the way, of the answer. I am willing to rise by seeking first the kingdom of heaven within my very own beingness and knowing that everything that I need, everything that I desire will be added. I was willing at that point to prepare myself, to properly attire myself, to garb myself in the consciousness of pure spirit so that I could answer the call and that I could answer it with everything, every ounce of willingness and readiness that I had. How do we properly prepare to attend the feast? How do we properly prepare to answer the call when it comes? You see, we don't always have to answer. We don't always have to wait for the red envelope. We don't always have to wait for the red envelope. My minister and mentor, Michael Beckwith, says that the pain pushes until the vision pulls. And I had to get many red envelopes just to find out that it's not always necessary to get a red envelope. That I could start preparing myself when I get the white envelope, which is the divine idea that peeks through as the activity of my consciousness. Oh, that's interesting. That's what the white envelope feels like. It's like, oh, or a little restlessness, a little stirring. Something's growing. Something's brewing. You could start there. You don't have to wait for the red one. How do we start there? Well, Joel Goldsmith, founder of the Infinite Way, he says that we must set ourselves, you must set yourself in consciousness, in the awareness of omnipotence. Omnipotence means all that there is love, is wholeness, is peace, is order, harmony, abundance, well-beingness, and grace. There is no otherness. There is no otherness. There's not wholeness and. There is wholeness. There is omnipotence. There is oneness. We must set ourselves in that. We must set ourselves in omniscience, the infinite wisdom that knows all things, that is the divine intelligence that governs you, that governs us. Oh, how amazing for a Virgo like me not to have to figure out our life anymore. We must set ourselves in the omnipresence. knowing that this presence, this invisible presence and power, this intangible presence and power becomes tangible and visible as us. And if we can set ourselves in that, moment by moment, day after day, if we can make that a priority in our lives, not just when the red envelope comes, but if we can make that a priority in our lives, we will anchor in the dominion and authority of our own consciousness so that when it comes, we're going to feel a little something-something. We're going to feel a little fear because we're spiritual beings having human experiences, and change is scary. But there's a difference between feeling a little, it's time to change. It's time to go into the unknown. And I'm a little frightened. But I know how to pray for myself. I know how to anchor in meditation. I know how to anchor in my oneness with God. And I know that this fear isn't real. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, false thought. Get behind me, false belief. I'm going to answer the call. There's a difference between that and being in such fear that you don't answer the call at all. Where are you being called today? What does your envelope look like? And in what area of your life is it calling you to attend the feast of your life? Is it in relationships? Is it in your health? The harmony in your home, the peace in your home? Is it in your finances? Is it in your career that's no longer serving you? And that you have nothing left to give it. And the universe is saying, it's time for you to move. It's time for you to start thinking about what you really want to do versus what you think you have to do in order to survive. How's it showing up for you? Or is it showing up as the healing of those core wounds? Those healing of those core wounds that continue to create resentment and unforgiveness in your life. What is the invitation saying to you? Resentment, Bill Wilson, founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, says it is like a thief in the night. It robs us of our joy and our peace and our harmony and our clarity and our perspective. It blocks us from the sunlight of the Spirit. And so if we're in resentment, when the invitation comes, we're so connected to our stories that we've been holding on to forever that we can't answer the call. That we'd rather suffer in the resentment than answer the call and have a breakthrough. Are you being called to forgive today? If you are, that's what the workshop is about this afternoon. It's about healing those core wounds that have clothed themselves, that have mirrored themselves back to us as people and circumstances. The vibrational frequency of resentment is low. It's heavy. The vibrational frequency of well-beingness and love and harmony is unlimited. So, it's within us. But it's not that it's withholding itself from us because we can't feel it or experience it. It's that we're hanging out at a different frequency, and we've got to raise our frequency through meditation, through prayer, through forgiveness, through the healing of our core wounds, through the changing of our stories. We are being called today to be free, to be who it is that we're meant to be. Right now, I want you to close your eyes, if you will. And I want you to bring someone in consciousness that you've been holding resentment and unforgiveness towards. I'm not asking you to forgive them right now. That's what this afternoon's session is about. I'm not asking you to fix anything. I just want you to call them forth into your consciousness and listen to the words of this song. Heard a powerful story about a man who stood in his truth with such conviction in who he was, he would not be moved. Someone stepped out of the crowd and said, "Are you Martin Luther King?" He said, "Yes, I am," and the well-dressed man spit on him. King took out his handkerchief and wiped the hate from his suit. He gave it back to the man and said, "I believe this belongs to you. I will do what I can do. I see your heart. I know your pain. I've been there too. I will hold you high while you do what you have to do. I am clear who is standing here. I believe this belongs to you." Those stories that we're holding on to, it's time to let them go. I once had a powerful story I used to carry around. I thought it was you all this time that held my spirit down. But now I know the truth of who I came here to be. You are my angel in disguise, not my enemy. So I thank you for the part you played in this dance we had to do. I give you back the love that's real. I believe it belongs to you. Lift them up. I will lift you up. Come on, sing it with me. I'll do what I can do. I see your heart. I know. And then to hold them high, I will hold you high while you do what you have to do. I am clear who is standing here. I believe this belongs to you. Whoever it is, lift them up. Lift you up. I'll do what I can. Heart, I felt your pain. I'll pray for you. I will hold you high while you do what you have to do. Yeah, I am clear who is standing here. I believe this belongs to you. I give you back the love that's real. I believe belongs to you. answer the call.